Mr. Chairman, we're good.
Thank you. Well, then we'll call the meeting for Monday, July 8, 2013, to order at 7:04, looks like. David, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Chairman Christensen?
Present.
Commissioner Demarest?
Present.
Commissioner Dirksen is excused. Commissioner Jensen?
Present.
Commissioner Rodland?
Here.
Commissioner Sherwood?
Here.
And Commissioner Tuttle is excused.
This is a time we set aside for comments from citizens. I don't see any citizens here tonight, so we don't need to proceed on that. Approval of minutes for May 20, 2013. Give you a chance to review that a little bit.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes May 20th as written.
I second that.
Motion made by Commissioner Demarest to approve the minutes for May 20th, seconded by Commissioner Sherwood. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I guess officially I'm abstained because it wouldn't be eligible to approve the minutes if it wasn't.
Well, that's just like that.
Yeah. Just to be official.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, next we have our workshop. Part A is the VCA 2012-02 marijuana related land uses. And Paul, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tonight is intended to be an introduction to these marijuana regulations. This all started back in December of 2011 when the council established a moratorium that was extended through this year. And after the initiative was approved for legalization, then the council adopted these interim zoning regulations. Which address both collective gardens and legal or recreational marijuana. It's coming to the commission for review and action for adoption as permanent regulations. These interim regs expire in December, so we'll be bringing this back. We have a public hearing at our next meeting, July 22nd. The intent of that being to solicit people to make any sort of comments on the regulations or whether or not we allow collective gardens, anything at all that's related to these changes. And then we'll probably bring it back in probably in August for some action recommendation to council. I'm not sure when council's going to take it on, but I don't know if it's going to take more than one some introduction tonight in our public hearing. And we will have Attorney Scott Snyder here at the public hearing to help us prepare these regulations. So that should help keep us all informed. So I have just a real brief intro on this. Magic screen. The interim regs, I think as you may know, do not allow collective gardens for medical marijuana. Because that was first adopted well before the initiative came about for legalization. But the council's discussion and decision and discussion with the attorney was that there are potential impacts of various sorts, and the council decided that collective gardens would be prohibited in all zoning districts, simply not allowed within city limits. Well, you go just outside of town on Highway 2 to the west, and there's a medical marijuana establishment there. And the based on the initiative and the what the state's trying to put together for licensing is three different phases or different parts of this marijuana production and so forth. The first is this is production, where you basically where you grow. And these regulations limit that to general industrial. And I'll pop up a map in just a second. The processing, or processing from simply raw product into a saleable product, are allowed in both industrial zones. Then retail is in both commercial zones, not mixed use, but commercial. So if you look on a map, maybe I can cut some of these lights a little bit. That should work. When for each of these steps, processing, production, processing, and sales, the state has established criteria or buffers. Includes it's 1,000 feet from, let's say, schools, libraries, preschools, really places of public assembly. And when you look at a map of Monroe, the production, or the growing, is only in light industrial, or sorry, general industrial, which is the lakeside site. That's the only general industrial we have in town. So it pretty much eliminates growth or production. Retail is allowed pretty much in all of North Kelsey here, and the service commercial little spot down here in the northwest corner of 522 and Main Street. I think those are the only two locations for retail. And then the middle step, the processing, is allowed in light industrial and general industrial. So that's where these areas come into play. Part of the Frylands. Oops. Come on. Part of the Frylands here. There's some property down on 177th that belongs to Remlingers. But there's just basically a couple of areas where you could set up processing. Large part of the buffer here is from Lake Tye Park, but and the red establishes those points that you have to buffer from, mostly parks, schools, and so forth. So
could
and
the processing also be in the lakeside area?
Processing could be in the general industrial here. Could be there. That's the only place where they could do production. They could also do processing. So here's processing. These three here, that's basically it. And retail is basically limited to North Kelsey. There was a question for a while of the Galaxy Theaters had a video arcade, and there was a question of whether that would be a use that would have to be buffered. And the opinion came down that it's an incidental use to the theater. It's not a standalone video arcade, so it did not. If that would happen, it would remove most of the North Kelsey area from potential sales areas. So that's how that has been set up in these interim regs. And the intent of this process is to take a look at these and see if the public or the commission sees some potential changes to be made and how these are allowed or where they're allowed. We're not going to change state law in terms of buffering, mm-hmm. but this will, you know, will give it its due diligence through the normal process for considering code amendments. Like I said, we'll have a public hearing next meeting and workshop and I would assume a recommendation sometime in August, probably the first meeting in August, looking ahead. So with that, turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Paul.
Does federal law take over state law in a case like this?
Well, that was actually one of the reasons the council decided to not allow collective gardens, since it conflicted with the federal law, was a controlled substance. Obviously, there's still an issue between the state and the feds regarding recreational marijuana. I don't know what the legal stance is on that. It has been obviously been approved by the voters. And to date that I know of, there has not been any indication from the Attorney General at the federal level as to how it's going to be handled.
Could we put something in our end of this that we would rely on the feds to make the decision on this before we made any decisions?
Be a good question for the attorney.
Yes.
Yeah. Hang on to that. That is an issue. Of course, we're doing medical marijuana in almost every city, and I know there's medical marijuana in other states as well. And for the most part, the feds have ignored it, but they have stepped in some questionable operations that were doing basically more than they should be doing.
Well, if we was to put it in there, then they'd have to do something about it.
But they could choose to not prosecute or investigate. But I'm not sure that they're in a position to make that official.
What was the decision to block the collective gardens made before 502 even was on the horizon?
It was. And really, the collective gardens and the 502 vote are two separate issues. They're not related in that sense. And I don't know that the 502 approval really has any impact or influence on collective gardens, since they are separate. I mean, one is a dedicated, at least theoretically, for medical use, which sets it apart from the recreational marijuana.
Well, I have a question, just to refresh my mind. The gardens are, the collective gardens, how are they different than being a producer or whatever? Is it collective gardens, is that people who grow marijuana for their own medical purposes, or is that a corporation type business that they can make medical
cannabis? It's really based on individuals. I believe you have to be so far away from a collective garden to individually grow marijuana, which you can possess up to a fair amount. But a collective garden, I want to say it's almost more like a co-op of sorts, but it's set up to where it can become basically almost like a business operation, and you have memberships, I think, where you card-carrying members can come in and stake a claim.
Is there kind of like a gray area between producer and sounds?
Well, it really is. They could be all together.
Yeah.
Growing, processing, they're not selling per se.
Because if you have producers that are allowed in general industrial, couldn't they kind of just, work their way into, having a collective garden type operation in a general industrial area?
Not unless the regulations were changed to allow collective gardens in.
I mean, how would you know the difference between I guess that's what my main question is, how do we know what's the difference between the two? What makes one different than the other one? How would you know?
Semantics and regulation.
I think that the collective gardens are going to go away with the passing of 502 once the state gets its act together, because there's no reason anymore to have them.
Except the participants in the collective gardens won't have to buy their plot, they can grow their plot.
Anybody can do that.
That's right.
Right, but it's right. But I could take and lease the space and create a facility for you to come in and grow your extra plants there in a secure, controlled environment versus doing it at home for your own use.
Yeah, but I think that 502 gets rid of the collective garden necessity, the medical marijuana cards, because it becomes the subset becomes anybody, you know, or the age of 18 or 21, whatever it is.
I thought about that too, wondering if that's just what would happen if in a fairly short period of time the 502 would basically make the collective gardens obsolete, unless there's some advantage for card-carrying members to retain their collective gardens.
Cost
it probably cheaper, probably.
And well, the other thing
some
is
more control.
Like Commissioner Robin was talking about, the feds may have a differentiation of saying, okay, we'll allow for the medical marijuana, but you know, we have a conflict now on recreational
right. stuff.
So I think it's sure.
Under the paragraph which says key regulations, Paul, there's an implication by this language, you know, as allowed by state law. The various aspects of production and processing and sales were not assigned to various districts by the state. That was done by the city.
Correct.
Okay. As long as it followed state law in the production, the processing,
right,
and the sale.
In terms of licensing and
so who made
buffers and so forth?
The recommendations of which zones can support which parts of the use?
That came from a discussion work between the city attorney and council and staff.
And that also happened before I-502?
After.
So
just within the last...
All of this came after.
Just fairly recently.
Okay.
Because our moratorium was due to expire in June of this year. And these interim regulations were adopted and went into effect prior to the moratorium expiring.
So this is kind of like a mobile home park. We don't want them in town, at least the growth of marijuana. And that's the de facto result of putting it in the general industrial zone.
Correct.
Okay. Commissioner Demers?
But the buffers came out of state law, right? The setbacks?
Yes.
Right. So the yellow and red was stipulated by the state. And something we didn't have any flexibility on, which in turn doesn't leave any other options.
Even if you allow it in residential, there's obviously very, very little area where you could do, well, you can't do retail sales in residential zones. So even if it were possible to do that, it's not allowed by the zoning code. So it's a very limited area. I say that we may have lost most of North Kelsey, if not for the opinion on the video arcade did not have any buffer.
Child care centers don't come into play?
Child care centers do not. Preschools do. But child care centers that offer some kind of education component would qualify for buffers.
Was there any discussion of East Monroe as a possible production site due to its isolation?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I think that land is too valuable for. Then again, it's a profitable industry.
Does the city Is the city in a position to receive any tax benefit from the production, processing, and sale?
You know, I'd say there would be something from sales tax. I don't know about the other, you know, like so-called liquor tax or marijuana tax, if that, if a portion of that comes back to local jurisdictions.
I think there was a reason why, when I-502 was voted in, that there was not a lot of noise from Olympia, because they were already counting the dollars.
I have another thought or question. This dates back years ago when Monroe was discussing having to deal with adult entertainment. And I recall in the discussions there was an issue about if the city just blanket said no, they actually might be challenged in court saying you've got to provide some space. To that end, I'm concerned the small area there for production, just that one little area, Lakeside, is that called?
Yes.
If that were to somehow become unavailable, might someone then challenge the city saying, you've got to give us some space to grow this? And I'm sort of taking this stance of, set the federal part aside, where they may come and stop the whole thing, or they may allow it. It's going to be one or the other. But if they allow it, then under that assumption, would we need to provide more space for production? And if so, I might suggest allowing those dark green areas to also be viable. Maybe they can produce and process in one place instead of having to transport this stuff all over town from one place to another.
It's a good question, and actually I can at least partially answer that. The adult entertainment zone was established, it's based on the First Amendment issue. The city could not totally disallow adult entertainment. So the city established that zone within the Frylands, an overlay zone, the adult entertainment district. In the case of marijuana, it's not a First Amendment issue. And the city could decide to simply preclude any collective or legal marijuana operations or sales within the city. I think they would be within their rights to do that, but not so with adult entertainment.
Yeah, and plus I think there's very limited space, like you mentioned there earlier, that, you know, where else would you have it?
Right.
Commissioner Sherwood?
To your knowledge, maybe this is a question for the attorney who comes, but is there a mandate in I-502 that every city and county shall provide for or may provide for?
That I can't answer. Yeah.
So it's possible the city council could say, we don't want dope in town. Period, unless it's in a collective, which was already allowed before 5.2. I mean, that could happen.
Okay. Yeah, these are types of things we probably should have answers to prior to the public hearing.
Yeah, we include the.
If there is concern, I'm sure that that's going to be part of it.
We can include it in the cover sheet for the meeting, for the packet.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Well, is there any anticipation in public hearing on this is going to be raucous?
You know, there was a public hearing with council last month, about a month ago. They needed to hold a public hearing within a certain amount of time of adopting these interim regulations, and not one person spoke. So it may be anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But we want to give the public a chance to voice their opinion of, I think we should expand this and allow it into more areas, or we should none at all, anything, and everything in between.
Which would beg the question, if you say we don't want Dolkin down, the state says that's okay, we will not be sending you a check. So I suppose there's be some correlation there.
Commissioner Rogers.
If at the public hearing, when we do have it, if it gets into a situation like the adult entertainment, I would suggest that the public be informed that the news and the press and the TV love this kind of stuff. And if you could keep them quiet and calm down, it might go away. Because I remember when it happened, and the mayor at the time owned Sporting Goods, and he says that if he could get this much publicity at his place, he would furnish the popcorn or hot dogs and come out and put your signs up.
Paul, anything else on this?
No, not for me.
Commissioners, any other questions?
Only thing I would mention. Yes, under section one, subsection ordinance G, ordinance, is that? Under this ordinance currently, in section G or subsection G, it was noted that the council did wish, pending all the federal possible things, that they wanted to acknowledge the will of the voters. Do we know how the vote went within the city? What kind of percentage was in favor or not? And might that weigh our what we look at here as to whether we should perhaps expand the zone range or decrease it?
But I believe these interim rates were approved unanimously, adopted unanimously by council.
No, I was meaning the city vote. How did the public of the city vote on 502? Was the city in general in favor of it or not? I would think if they were, we might lean more towards allowance rather than denial of marijuana in the city.
That could be, and then there also could be the situations, it's okay, but as long as it's not in my backyard.
That's true.
So, there's always that.
Yeah, the state say, well, yeah, we can do that, but just don't do it right in front of me. So you got a little...
I suppose you can make the noise of, we're going to open things up, and then see who shows up at the public meeting, and if everybody shows up, say, great, we won't show up, we won't.
That is the purpose of the public hearing.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else? Thank you, Commissioner Robinson. All right, next on the agenda then is CPA 2013-A Comprehensive Plan Text Amendments for Land Use. Paul, you proceed on this, or?
Yes. Another workshop. It's really tend to be a progress report and look at what's been done.
Mm-hmm.
There was quite a bit done between our last meeting and this meeting, which was, when was our last meeting? May 20th. Mm-hmm. It's been quite a while.
Yeah. Some end of May.
Well, there were two attachments. The first one retains all of the red line text from the beginning. And it gets to be pretty dirty. And the second one, I think as we talked at that last meeting, most or all of the changes that were made up to that 20th meeting have been cleared as clean text, and some of the red lines removed. But the remaining red lines are the work that has been done since then. And I also did not I didn't do any cleanup in the goals and policies section on the red line text, but there were a number of changes made based on the discussion we had back in May, and there were a number of specific points raised and directions given, and you know, some of those were summarized in the minutes, and there were many others that I just simply addressed as I went through this. But there's still work to be done. There's still some, you'll see in various places where it still says update this section, where we didn't quite get those sections done. We did update most of the tables back in that inventory and analysis section. Now that that point where we reached where we thought, well, we're going to stop here, update the tables, and try and pull it all together before we continue on. So it was getting pretty late that night, too.
Yeah.
So there is still some work to be done. It's probably 80% there at this point. But I would welcome your review of what you see in the red line, and I am going to keep the 100% red line, you know, with all changes intact as an attachment one. And when we finally get this together, we'll have one very dirty red line copy and one very clean copy with no red lines. I'm hoping to bring this back at the next meeting as complete, hoping. But the schedule for, well, we're considering land use, housing, economic development, what, capital facilities. I think I'm missing one. For changes and updates, and I'm trying to work up a schedule for the rest of these, all of these elements. But the approval of comp plan amendments has been pushed back to December before we take action on, you know, on cumulative action on all amendments. These elements, the school mitigation fees, may come back as a comp plan amendment. We took the Gateway District planning, which was an original part of the program, and we decided to put it in the 2015 update. And East Monroe may be back on the agenda for action this year. I can tell you more about that in the update at the end of the meeting. But at this point, I don't know that East Monroe is going to be ready to be acted upon in 2013. But our original schedule, I think, called for cumulative action on these plan amendments maybe in August or early September, and that's going to go back by several weeks.
Okay.
But I have lots of good news in the update portion of the meeting to pass along.
Excellent. I have a number of things that I found as far as graphical type
things. Yeah, I'm sure there's more of those as well.
Yeah, and I'm just going to leave those for the most part, at least as far as I'm concerned. I'm sure that you'll catch them eventually, and if you don't, I'll be able to.
There are some formatting and issues like that in getting from red line to fully clean text.
I did find one thing in here on page 10.
Which version are you in?
These are the final, or not final.
Attachment 2?
Yeah, attachment 2. On page 10, future visions and issues. This is one thing that I wanted to make sure I got up. The first sentence says, city continues to receive development permits from landowners. And shouldn't that say applications for development permits, or?
It's probably more appropriate at this point, yes.
Okay.
a very limited amount of actual permits, but applications definitely.
Okay.
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to go ahead. It's mainly what one of them was the only thing that I found right off. So.
A couple of quick things. I know there was a comment about Old Owen, while I'm thinking of it, related to multifamily housing, and where is that multifamily housing? And I did not address that. I meant to try and zero in on just where this multifamily was located. In the page 15 under Woods Creek Future Vision, it talks about, it's in the first paragraph, it talks about lower density detached and attached single family and multifamily housing. There is some, I guess you'd call it single family attached, or you know, motel, almost motel type style of some units down in that area, but we need to scope that out a little bit better. That sounds like it's more than it is. It's a little unclear that way. And the other one was on page 14, last paragraph. There was a question about this 2008 plan, joint planning process with the county. And I think what I would prefer to do is just simply delete that paragraph. That study, I don't believe there were any changes to the comp plan, and there was no action on expanding the UGA in that southwest area. So I think that's all history that is simply history at this point.
That's the commercial property along West Main? Is that what you're talking about?
This is the, basically that whole southwest growth area.
Okay.
South of Main, east and west of 522. Now that is coming back, being considered for forwarding to the county at some point with as part of the 2015 update for expansion of the UGA with the Remlinger property farther south. And we've talked about that just very briefly in the past. But it involves about, I don't remember the acreage, but it's the land that is south of the high school, east of the 522.
That would be the Tester Road area.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
But that land's not addressed in here at all.
Pardon me?
That land's not addressed in here.
No, it's not. And it's going to be included in this as in one of these update this section things here. Because it's now, actually it's going to council next week for an update, and we'll bring it to an item for a commission as just a general update at the next meeting as well. It's beginning to take some links.
Commissioner Demers?
It seems, Paul, that it would be appropriate that it would be done under the Tester Road area and not under 161st.
Yeah, I don't think it belongs under 161st.
Because that's separated by 522.
Right.
So maybe you want to put a note
really
there.
South of that Tester Road area.
Right.
So we'll add some language that at least brings that to light, because it looks like it's going to be something that will be processed and taken to the county for a yes or no on a UGA expansion.
How would you envision ingress and egress access to that area being handled?
That's an issue that will have to be addressed. At this point, it's very very beginning stages. That's an issue. Could be a potential problem. Long term, there could, some discussion of either there's a ramp, an exit and or entrance either side of 522, not an interchange. But that is pretty far out there.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner Sherwood.
This is just a conceptual thing. In reading through here, there was at least token language concerning affordable housing. Now, I don't know, I can't remember. Can you build a mobile home park in the city of Vermont?
You can build a mobile home park. Now, wait. You can locate a single unit in a residential area.
So you can't have, and it can cost 25 G's just to pull a building permit, and the only hope of affordable housing is housing hope. And like institutions, we need to either just take it out or get serious about it, in my opinion. Because there ain't no affordable housing in this town, you know, by truly by definition. Unless you've got a beater that's, you know, ready to fall over and you're going to put a little dough into it. So I just think that, you know, the problem needs to be eliminated, or we actually give it some vouch. One or the other. And whichever way everybody decides it goes, but we really need to get serious about it. If we're serious that we really don't care about it, then we need to take the language out. Because we have no intention of creating affordable housing the way it sits right now. It just doesn't happen.
Commissioner Demarest?
I agree in part with what Commissioner Sherwood has said. Though, I think I agree in the sense that I don't see mobile home parks coming in the road. But I also don't see the road necessarily wanting to address the affordable housing issue by way of mobile parks. And we'll certainly do it. They're much more affordable, no question about it.
However it happens or doesn't happen, we just need to be honest about it. And we are not right now.
As I look at Monroe, I don't know where I would envision a mobile home park going.
I'm not sure if a mobile home park is allowed anywhere in the city.
I don't believe that it is.
I don't think so.
Sure,
I don't want to say for sure, but I say single units are allowed. It's going to be replacing a existing mobile home or manufactured home would bypass impact fees. You wouldn't have that $25,000.
So if we really wanted affordable housing, then maybe creating some provision for mobile home parks would be part of that. If we really don't want mobile home parks, then, you know, we've taken out one of the most efficient ways to create affordable housing.
Yeah. Efficient and relatively affordable. Yeah.
So that's just something whenever it's appropriate, we should talk about and recommend some sort of action, I think, for the city council to, when they go through this. If you really want affordable housing or not, if you don't, then let's not say that we do.
We're hoping that there will be some privately built affordable housing in the West Main Street corridor. There are incentives in place that give density bonuses and so forth, which we're hoping will come into play with some future mixed use developments. And Housing Hope is very active right now in providing some affordable housing, but they're only one player. They're in a lot of places, but they're only one source.
Commissioner Jensen, I'm wondering, and maybe it could be related to answering the question of where, so I noticed under Test Road area that says future vision says no significant changes are expected. I've seen the signs of the property. Now, remember those other issues, but the property adjacent to the high school is for sale. I'm not sure how big that is or if that could cause a chain reaction of other property sales in that area, and I'm not sure where the city is. The city boundary right next to the high school, or does it extend beyond?
Next to the high school.
And do we, so if it's out, if that's in county, just for instance, could somebody put a mobile home park there outside the city limits or some other development that
you would want to plan future vision for Teston Road.
Not sure what the county zoning is there or what's allowed in that whatever zone that is, but I'm noting here that under the Teston Road area, the future vision, that's where we need to include some narrative about this potential UGA expansion, and if that happens, future annexation. It might be a few years before all that takes place, but that's setting an appropriate place for that kind of discussion. I know there are some, maybe more than one parcel for sale out in that same area. Not a tremendous number of property owners out there, but the city has, I believe, it's been finalized, taken over the Sky Valley Water District, which is out, serves out that direction, all Teston Road and so forth, has taken it under the wing of the city. I think that's been finalized.
To answer Steve's question, the zoning there in the county right next to the city is R5, one unit per 5 acres. Hmm.
Paul, I gave, I think it was to you, or maybe to Jeff Sachs, the buildable lands report information that I had brought from the county. Then I see in the attachment 2 that I don't think that table reflects that new reality. So do you have a sense of how many units we are deficient within the period of this new cycle?
Yes. There, in fact, on page 20, I have a note to insert a summary of the 2012 buildable lands report, where it's talking about land capacity analysis and so forth. And the table on the following page needs to be updated. Actually, there's a couple of tables that need to be updated. As I recall, the county has now just posted the 2012 report on their website. I'm going to have a meeting in the county on Thursday. As I recall, we're something like 900 and some units short for 2035 housing units. And our occupants per household is higher than most other jurisdictions. I think we're pushing 2.8 or 2.9, and others are maybe 2.6 or less.
So we're around 1,000 units short.
Closer to 900. And we were at...
So what are we, 2.7, 2.8 instead of 2.5, or are we the size 3?
Pardon?
People per unit. You're using.
I think we're with the new projections, I believe it's 2.8 or 2.9, I think, per unit. But I'm trying to do that from memory.
And that's based on the existing condition that we're a little higher than other jurisdictions.
The occupancy, average occupancy, is higher in Monroe than is typical. There may be more families with children and multi-generation in Monroe than some other places.
So if we have, right now, I think the language in here was our effective density is circa 4 per acre. We're talking about 250 acres of 4 per acre average in order to meet that, give or take. Depending on how many multi-family units and infill units will be added into the mix. That sounds about right.
Sounds about right. Yeah. And some of that capacity is on the premise of considering some upzoning in the northern UGA, or not UGA, the northern urban fringe areas to the north and to the north northeast. Some of those are at R4 or 2-5, something like that, and potential for upzoning a step at least some of those areas, to get a little higher density within the limits of the UGA or the city limits.
Commissioner Demarais?
To follow on that though, Paul, that would need to be, the groundwork for that would need to be laid either in here or in the 2015 update, right?
Correct. In the update. That's a place to really get into that and try and address where there is the potential for additional capacity.
So have you already picked the people now to do the update? Is that all done?
We have. Okay. I'll tell you more about that too.
Okay. Right, to Commissioner Rodman?
Yes. The density that we're supposed to come up to, is this single family or is this rental property? And is it a difference?
It doesn't differentiate between single and multifamily. It's just number of population and based on, you know, something less than three people per unit, whether it's single family or multifamily, doesn't get into the equation.
We had a principal from one of the schools we were all come and talk to our Lions Club about a month ago, and she was having problems with people in rental units that were kept with children, and they would rent a place free for the first month free, and they would move in and send their kids to school, and one of the month they move out and move to a different area where the first month was free, and the kids, I think we had to bus those kids back and forth. So it was getting to be a problem for the school district for the rental unit to deal like this, to have this 1 month free thing going and everything. So I'm not sure that this rental unit to take care of the density is the way to go. Single family residence is probably the only way to stop the problem.
I think that's going to be the primary answer to the shortage of housing. It's going to be predominantly single family. And we have, you know, pretty limited areas for higher density. West Main being one of the prime areas where we're hoping to get some higher density. I think the school district may be finding that, you know, traditionally there have been less students found in multifamily than single family. I think maybe that has changed them, at least temporarily with the recession. A lot more people in multifamily housing, renting, and they lost their original homes. But if that's the case, then that may eventually go back in the direction too.
Yeah.
Commissioner Jensen, what about condominiums rather than apartments? Something that people buy rather than rent. You have to have the inventory somewhere for you to try to convert rental units that are there already to condos, or, you know, that's up to the...
Well, I mean, if we're trying to increase, like, would something like that qualify potentially as low-cost housing? And I'm not talking whether it's converted or something that's built new, but if it's built to be sold as condos instead of rented as apartments.
Actually, Housing Hope has maybe a couple of projects that would have, that the legal product would be condos on the north side of Main Street. Going west, there's 13. They're actually like attached townhouses.
Yeah.
But they're condos. All of the non-building grounds is common area. And there another project on the south side of Main Street, which I believe would have, I think it's a mixture of rental and condo ownership units. But you know, we don't really differentiate between condominiums, apartments, and single family in terms of capacity or number of people per unit, and number of units don't break it down that far.
commissioners, anything else? Any other question? Comments? Commissioner Demarest?
Just a suggestion, perhaps, Paul, with respect to Eastern Commercial Area north of US 2. It's LU-11 in attachment 2. Talks about the existing conditions and issues. Starts out by saying this area lies between Chain Lake, Woods Creek, and Old Owned Roads. I think we could improve on that a little bit because actually it lies between Chain Lake and Woods Creek itself. And we've kind of, by the language we have here, we've taken out that section between Old Owned Road and Woods Creek. So perhaps if it's a sum of the fact that between Chain Lake Road and Woods Creek to the east would be a more appropriate description, more accurate, and wouldn't lend itself to confusion, such as I experienced.
Yeah, one thing I want to add to this section, this whole, these several pages, is a map that shows each of these areas, because I have trouble envisioning just where exactly these areas are, what the extent of their so-called boundaries are.
Well, the shorelines map does that pretty well. The shorelines because, for instance, if we only went to Old Owned Road, we would leave out the old Chinook lumber site, which is a pretty good-sized chunk of holding in there that's included in this description when you talk about the high-intensity use lands relative to the shorelines. So I just think that describing as being all the way over to Woods Creek would be very, really helpful.
Okay, good.
Woods Creek or Woods Creek Road?
Woods Creek. Okay. Yes. Let's, you know, from Chain Lake to Woods Creek. And we don't need to identify Woods Creek Road. We don't need to identify the Old Owned Road. Because we've identified the two outer edges, east and west, of the zone. And the north and south, of course, are identified by the current Highway 2 and the proposed right-of-way bypass for Highway 2.
Right. The creek now.
So it boxes it in effectively.
Yeah, and we are going to split, basically your suggestion from last time, Robin Hood and Roosevelt Ridge are really are two different areas that were combined in the past. We'll be clarifying those and treating them separately.
Okay, good.
So there's a fair amount more to flush out on this, but we're getting pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah, I did notice how much better the attachment 2 was easier to read than the original attachment 1, for sure. Commissioner Demarest?
Thank you. On LU-18, the middle of the page there, that paragraph, where it says update this language, Paul, you've got in red there, inserted, clarify density gross versus net, blah, blah, blah. What are the thoughts on that at this point? You know, it says that we're currently at a density of less than 4 dwelling units per acre, but per acre defined how? Is that per gross acre of the city?
And that's a note to clarify just what that means. Is it? I'm assuming it's gross, but it needs to be described as to just what that means. If it's per gross acre, that's a whole different number than net. And I don't know that there'd be any reliable way to come up with a net calculation. But it needs to be clarified.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if it includes our park space, for instance. And we've got a lot of park space. And certainly,
is it gross, and what is the gross?
Right.
Really the questions.
I mean, we know how big the city is, right? Based on our city limits. Mm-hmm. And we know how many dwelling units we have. And we take our average house size and kind of see where we're at. Are we just our dwellings better? And how many dwellings do we have in the city limit? We should have that in here, don't we, actually? Do we have a number?
There may be included
here. The dwellings, houses,
Dwelling units.
All buildings?
Uh-huh.
Including industrial?
Dwelling units.
Oh, dwelling. Because they have industrial outside the...
Right, then I need...
The city too.
Right. Now, I'm just saying that it allows to try to see where we're coming at that number from. Is it on a gross or is it on a net of some sort?
Oh, I got you.
We must have that number somewhere, as far as how many dwelling units there are in the city.
I'm sure we do. I'm sure they have it.
We should have it somewhere.
Yeah,
we probably should be in here somewhere, don't you think? Be nice to have it in here.
It's a good base number to have.
Yeah.
Which translates into some kind of, if you define it, some kind of density.
Monroe's not big. How many acres does the city have altogether?
Don't know.
There's 47 acres here.
Let's see. 48 of 73, almost 5,000 acres. That's for all, yep. Mm-hmm. The top page, 18, 211.
So, yeah.
About 4,900.
Yeah.
Acres. How many square miles is that? There's a calculator.
That's about 7.5 sections.
Square mile. Not very big. The last jurisdiction had 35,000 population and city limits of 220 square miles.
So our population is 17,000 somehow, including the reformatory, right?
Yeah, no, it's 17,3.
5 by 48, 73 is less than 4.
There's about 2,500 inmates.
But that's based on gross.
Yes, it is.
And if we were to take the open space, general industrial, light industrial, and commercial out of that, then we go up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And certainly, I mean, rightfully so, this city is proud of the fact that it has a lot of park space. And because we do, it's going to distort that number if we approach it on a gross basis. So I think that we need to find out how we have to look at it.
If I were to assume, I would assume that that number, the density, is based on ratio of total dwelling units and all residential land. If it were dispersed over the entire 5,000 acres, it would be a pretty low number.
Jeff says it would be a little bit below 4.
With 5,000 acres?
17,000 divided by 48, 73. Yeah, it might not be a bad idea, Paul, to have some sort of a table that makes it clear that 2,500 plus or minus of our population is incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And they do have a rather high dwelling density.
They do.
And so we...
Very efficient.
Just so, you know, for the benefit of the calculations, and whomsoever reads this understands that the population does include the correctional complex.
And that's been improved on a little bit in this version, I think. On W16. When it talks about the population housing growth.
Yeah,
it tries to account for the percentage of growth is misleading if you include the inmates, but it's the same way in terms of the density. It should be the population less the inmate population and land area that...
Could you show a separate line?
Yeah, sure could. Right.
A separate line that shows their population versus...
Right, general population.
General population, yeah.
Not so general.
Their population has grown more quickly the last few years than the cities.
Possible, yeah. Unfortunately.
But I agree, Jeff. I think there's a clear distinction we can make between those two population sets.
So we have 2,250 acres, give or take, of single and multifamily residential. And absent the inmates, we have 15,000 population, give or take. Here, though, we have around 7 units per acre, average density across the residentially zoned portions of the city.
That's a lot higher.
That could be, because we have a fair amount of multifamily, which is pretty dense.
Yeah, because you have the condos on the lake, you have Morning Run, you know, fourplexes and eightplexes. And
Old Town.
Yeah,
the places down by the
streetlex lands.
So there's, you know, that helps the density.
Could be. It bears some further confirmation to get that number.
Yeah, so it's 6 or 7.
It's fairly high.
On the other.
So it's not as bad as it sounds then on the face of it.
Yeah.
Interesting to see a map of what the effective density is in specific area. Like here's Morning Run, X density. Here's, you know, the central part of the single family core, X density. Here's Sinclair Heights area, the northern fringe area, X density. It's going to be quite a mixed bag, but it'd be an interesting if you just do it graphically to see where the density is. And it's a snapshot.
Yeah. Good idea.
Be interesting, man.
Anything else, commissioners? Paul?
Well, we have more work to do on this. And trying to get this back, and the next one coming to the next element that we're going to bring would be the housing, maybe the economic development as well.
Mm-hmm.
Try and get a little bit caught up with these comp plan efforts.
Is anybody working with this? With you on this?
Melissa, my assistant, or mm-hmm. our other planner, has spent some time on this. It's been mostly myself. I think what I'm going to do is tap Mr. Dave for some additional help on this. But yeah, we always have this continued problem of limited staff. Although
there's a lot of work. I mean, just this one.
Oh yeah.
Document.
I'd say we have a lot more staff now than we did 2-3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real pleasure.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Very good.
Okay. Anything else, Paul?
None on this. No.
Okay. Well, then I guess we can move on to discussion by commissioners and staff. And Paul?
I have a few things of note. The 2015 comp plan update. We did receive 7 proposals, and we interviewed 3 on last week of May, I think it was. We interviewed BHC Consultants, which has done some work for the city in the past, Studio Cascade, and Burke, B-E-R-K. Burke and BHC are, I think, both based in Seattle. Studio Cascade's based in Spokane. We did the 3 interviews and had a pretty unanimous ranking, and Studio Cascade was the highest ranked consultant team, and we're now in the midst of trying to finalize the scope of work with Studio Cascade. I expect that'll be done in the next couple of weeks, and then we get hit the ground pretty hard, probably first part of August. So I have more for you on that and what that scope is as we get that figured out. But the general plan is that they would start a visioning process this fall and start doing some general updating and gathering and so forth, and that after the first year, we start getting into the meat of the plan itself. But one of the things they talked about was the potential for a storefront studio downtown for several days, where there could be an ongoing interaction with the public, with a few special events during that. But they're real strong on public participation and getting people out and getting getting some good feedback from across the community. That's one of the reasons we picked them.
I just had a thought. You know, we had that night out. It might be something that at one of the booths, I don't know what booth it could be, but you could also at one of the booths start that.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that next Tuesday night?
It's August.
August.
It is August.
Yeah, it's August 5th.
Okay.
6th.
Okay.
6th.
That's right, August 6th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's just a thought, because you mentioned getting the public on board, and that could be just one, because there's a lot of public show up at that night out.
And those are great points where you can just throw up some things and just get some random comments and thoughts and try and generate some interest.
And let them know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, say, if you got ideas, you know, we're looking at.
Sometimes I go talk to someone who's at a booth like that at some event because there's nobody talking, so I just go up and make them feel like they talk to somebody.
Yeah.
But that's going on, and in terms of comp plan, the East Monroe, the consultant for the applicant submitted an environmental impact statement just last Wednesday, and we've just started to get in this. You know, we've got a couple days to start reviewing this EIS. And that will be, this is a draft EIS. At this point, the city staff has to review this draft EIS and deem it complete. And at that point, we'll issue the draft EIS to the public and to agencies for their review. And that probably not gonna happen for another couple of weeks. And that'll be coming to the commission for your review probably in August sometime. And that's going to be a long, drawn-out process. And we're expecting that the draft will lead to a final EIS, and we're expecting that... Jim?
I guess. I don't want to interrupt.
We're just
trying to see Steve.
But you did.
right at the tail end.
Oh, okay.
You missed the public comment.
Oh,
it's not too late. Would you like to make a comment?
I have no public comment other than to welcome our new planning commissioner to the board. Anyway, I guess I just was out for a walk, thought I'd stop by. See ya. All right.
Thanks for that.
We're fully expecting that the final EIS will be appealed, and that appeal would go to the hearing examiner for a ruling, much as the earlier phased EIS did. Then hearing examiner deemed that inadequate, which is what triggered this full-blown EIS. But we're assuming that it would be appealed, and that would go to the hearing examiner, and we're also assuming that that decision may well be appealed, and that would be to like judicial court, which could put that project on hold for a good long while.
Yeah.
Months, maybe longer. But the first step is this draft and final EIS, and say that the draft will be coming to you. The actual environmental impact statement's fairly, like 35 pages, but there's a quite a bit of much thicker appendix, which has detailed wetlands, traffic, so on and so forth. It's almost more like a summary, and then you have to refer to the appendices for the real detail and technical information. So give me something to look forward to.
Thank you.
few more things. Let's see. We have a new employee as of, it's been a few weeks now. Jesse Johnson, or Jessica. She's a new permit tech. Huge help. She's been working for Island County, Camino Island, in their satellite office for the last several years. And she has jumped right in and just been effective from day one, working out really well.
Bet you Kim's happy about that.
Oh, yes, she is. Very much so. We're all pretty happy with her. We did get, I'll say we kind of got slammed, I think, week before last. We got submittals for H3O, the wakeboard park, the building plans and the median site plan. Plans for Bear Mountain Estates, which is the one west of the foothills. I recall there was quite a bit of angst about secondary access, and I think you're aware that they have purchased property to the west, which connects with Roosevelt Road. They may pick up one parcel, and potentially there could be another parcel, but it does have through access from foothills through Bear Mountain to Roosevelt Road. And that's been just recently submitted, so we're reviewing that. And the other one is Housing Hope. How did I turn it around in here?
Oh, cool.
Housing Hope. On the south side of Main Street, down toward the Precision Collision, right around there. 47 or 48 units are been submitted for building plans. So they've closed out Fremont. They're starting this one on the south side of Main Street. And I think they might have one unit they're trying to get occupied before they start on the 13 unit project on the north side of Main Street.
Is it prior to the prison?
Yes. Yes.
Right across the street.
1013 on the north side.
Okay.
Now I get it. Yeah. So Housing Hope is very active. Last time I was there, there's been, late last week, some reorganization of departments. Brad Feilberg is now will be focused on public works, engineering, and so forth. Rick Carnes, our plan examiner, has been elevated to building official. He was a deputy code official. He's been named building official. Melissa Sartorius, our new planner, has been promoted to senior planner and is also the SEPA official. She's got a lot of background in SEPA and environmental work. And I have been deemed the code official, which means that I have the final say or interpretation on building, fire, and zoning codes. These are all rules that Brad had taken on at one point or another, and now we pull that back. And so we're a more self-contained department or group now. We're still going to be tapping Grant as a resource, but we pulled a lot of the decision making back into planning and permitting. It's going to be a good positive change all around. So we're good.
Awesome. That's good.
I think that's about it. That's enough.
I heard that the Walmart thing was a done deal. Is that?
Yes. The court had remanded it back with issues on lighting and benches, and message being that council needs to work with Walmart and solve these really very minor, almost incidental issues. And it was the plans were revised, and council approved a resolution last week to approve the plans. So I believe within a certain number of days, 45 days, something like that, Walmart should be under contract and closed.
And
so it is basically a done deal.
Construction will start, is it?
Most likely
maybe September, October. You want to be open by for the holiday season, which to me is probably like September of next year.
Next year,
yeah. Really?
Next year.
You know.
Okay. Next year. Yeah.
But not sure about a construction start date.
Yeah.
They may start doing some site work before the rainies. I think they want to. I think they want to get a lot of work done before the rainy season gets here.
I have a question. When you mentioned it would be helpful to have some answers on the marijuana matter before the public hearing from the city attorney.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, no, there are a few points that came up tonight that I'll get a response from the attorney and include them in the packet for the public hearing.
Okay.
With the commission. Yeah, for the next meeting. Yeah, councilman need to get involved and I'm go directly to the attorney for some responses. There's some good questions.
Is that it, Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Jensen, how is the public hearing actually announced? How do people know that it's happening?
It's it's published in the paper for those who read the paper, the monitor, etc. It's an actual ad, it's not a classified ad, it's an actual ad. It's on the website. With a citywide action like that, we don't do any kind of mailing. We post it at the library and city hall, and we rely more on the web as much as anything as announcements.
Okay.
And we're hoping that word will spread and that we'll get some folks come out, make it worth your while to have a public hearing.
Right. Other thing was when I was selected to be on the commission, a couple of people would talk to me and they were quite curious about access to the minutes of these meetings. They were under the impression the minutes hadn't even been approved since they weren't available online. So I feel I should at least ask about, and I see online that they were regularly posted all last year, right? Through December, and then it just stopped. And I was curious, was there some reason that it stopped, or did somebody get let go and it just stopped happening? And is there some way we can get that to happen again?
Yeah, you brought that up earlier, and I did not check into that, but the minutes normally would be posted when they're approved initially. We do have some for signature tonight. For
yeah, they're inside.
Mr. Chairman, and one for you, Jeff.
Sorry.
And those would be posted. There was a period of time we were way behind in minutes. That went into last year, and in the end of this year, we were way behind in minutes. So we finally got caught up. But yeah, that needs to change. It will change.
Okay.
But we hesitate to post minutes that are not approved. Our drafts are quite a bit different from the final.
Yeah. Yeah. Like obviously tonight, minutes were approved. That would make them available to be posted. Anything else?
No.
Steve?
The Tonkin building, the project, the new people, mm-hmm. How's that coming along there?
They have a temporary certificate of occupancy, or a couple of temporaries. They're basically done. They were having issues with one of their, or a couple of their machines, some of their production.
Yeah.
Their goal was to be in that building complete by July 1st, and I don't think they didn't quite make it.
Looks like they're building a house over it.
Yeah, they're doing an incredible amount of construction inside that building.
Yeah.
But I think now they're probably they should be running.
Are they going to be bringing in their own help, or are they going to be asking
both? They're bringing, I think, 80 employees from Everett, and the ultimate employment is somewhere between 350 and 450.
All right.
And those will be all new employees. So they've done an indescribable amount of work in there.
Yeah.
And it's
it's been driving our inspector and plant owner crazy, frankly.
Yeah, people asking about all of them, looking for jobs, you know, and they go down and ask and see what they
do. Yeah, in fact, there was an email sent around in the city recently about if any, to pass along word to spouses or anyone, family members who might be interested in putting an application in Natural Factors. So if you know anybody was looking, you know, they should contact them and there might be some opportunities there. Sounds like there are already.
What kind of business is it?
They're based in Vancouver. They do research and development, production, and distribution of natural vitamin and health products. They're an international company. Right. Never laid off a single employee. Owned by one person. Probably a whole company. Yeah. Very interesting group. Their building standards are, you know, much higher than normal. And they apparently produce quite a product. They provide like Costco and any number of major retailers.
Commissioner Sherwin?
Nothing.
Commissioner Demarest? A couple things. One, Paul, maybe you can add it to your list with regard to the pot. I think this dovetails on something Commissioner Sherwin was asking about. What are the communities that are known that are just saying no? If there are others.
Yeah. I'm not aware of any, but there might be.
It might have been something about Renton or somewhere down 17 County. Anyway, and then secondly, and I think it's just I'd like to welcome Steve. Steve and I first met some years ago, and I believe it was the transportation plan.
It could have been, yes.
You were on a subcommittee, a citizens committee, that helped put together the very first transportation plan the city of Monroe had. Yeah. And I was on the planning commission at the time, and we had a chance to work together back then. So it's nice to see you delve in further.
Yeah.
And obviously you're not going to be shy about it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Can I add one other thing in? This reminded me on the... I was curious if it would make a difference in our planning on this if we knew what this would look like from the county's perspective. Mm-hmm. If we say no, are we just like the one down Highway 2? Are we just going to be surrounded on the fringes because the county says yes? In which case, maybe we should not say no. I don't know. I'm just saying it'd be nice to know what the county map would look like in perspective with our decision.
If something's available, it'd be nice to see.
I'll find out.
Commissioner Demarest took a little bit of my thunder, and I wanted to welcome you to.
Oh, thank you.
It's nice to have a whole contingency.
I'm glad to be here, able to help.
Good to have you. I only have one thing on from the parks. You know, I'm still on the parks board, and I probably should not be. In the position I am, we should allow one of you here in the group to partake in being on the parks board for a while. But I'll continue to go on until somebody pops up and says, I'll do that. I'm one of the few that end up out at the National Night Out at one of those booths at the park. But one of the things that happened at last meeting, we had a young man show up that is really excited about this frisbee golf. I don't know if anybody's been involved in frisbee golf, but mm-hmm. I guess it's becoming huge anyway. But he made a proposal to us at the Parks Board that they wanted to put in a frisbee golf course over in Al Borland Park, in the section of the park where there's no trails yet, or, you know, it's on the other side of the main trail going into, or main road going in. So it wouldn't interrupt any trails that people were presently walking on, but they would probably disturb some vegetation so they could have the, fairways to each of the holes. They would it wouldn't cost the city a dime. They would get donations and whatever to get the baskets and all that stuff. But they were hoping that down the road that the city would approve that and go ahead and put in a golf course there. And they seem to think that would help keep the transients out of that area, to have more people down in that area, they thought it was going to be a good idea. So I just thought I'd bring that up, let you know that there are some.
Frisbee golf's been around for decades. It doesn't take up much room.
Yeah.
It's fun. Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cheap. Low impact.
It's cheap. You bring your own frisbee.
Yeah.
But that's all I have.
What was the reaction of the board, initial reaction?
Well, they thought it was a great idea. I'm still pushing to get horseshoe pits, but I'm on the horseshoe pits. Any of the parks, I don't care. Get the Eagle Scouts out there.
Talking about horseshoe pits, our Lions Club put in a horseshoe pit at the senior center a month ago. Nobody's used it yet.
Really?
Not that I know they're there. It's over there.
Well, how many people know they're there?
Well, you know, hopefully something
bring your own horseshoes.
No, we got horseshoes.
I'm from Duluth, Minnesota, which there was a manufacturer there, Diamond Tool and Horseshoe Company, and they made tournament horseshoes, pitching shoes, and just about everybody knew about Diamond, and so I was raised on horseshoes. Mm-hmm. I ate horseshoes for dinner.
I'm from St. Paul, and I used to play a lot of horseshoes there.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Demarest to adjourn, seconded by Commissioner Rodland. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry.
Okay. All right.
You like to mention.